Okay, so we're here again outside Milles de Vivienne in Barceloneta, and a lot has changed in those few days. The last time I was talking to you, you were saying how there was a threat of an eviction of the Ocupa here, but that with that a lot of things had happened and that you were actually really excited and really charged by all the things that had been happening in those few days. A lot has happened since then. Could you tell us a little bit what's happened in the last few days?
Yeah, let's see if I can remember everything that's happened. Let's see. So we had an entire month of basically being on red alert. I think we talked about 2 weeks ago. We had a month of being on red alert, knowing that the police were going to come, knowing that the eviction was coming, and we had a lot of, false alerts. It was an incredibly challenging and incredibly inspiring time. As you know, we were doing events out here on the street, nonstop, talking with the neighbors, etc. And it was also was an incredibly difficult month for the squatting movement in Barcelona. They shut down a bunch of houses, and in the week previous to the elections, they shut down about 7 houses. It didn't happen with us because we were very visible in public leading up to the elections. The elections happened, and during those 2 weeks, they were saying that they weren't going to do any evictions. I believe that they actually did do about 2 evictions during the elections anyway. And then the elections ended, and of course we were like, okay, well, they're going to come. And 2 days passed, and 2 days ago we found out through rumor that probably they were going to end up coming, and 2 days ago they came. They finally came. And you know what, we had been preparing, and I was actually really thinking we weren't going to be prepared, but it ended up just totally amazing. We actually had the sort of the eviction of our dreams in some ways, and we were really lucky in it. Trying to analyze what is luck and what is a miracle, and I think it's built through layers and layers of hard work, and it didn't come out of anywhere, but anyway, we had an amazing eviction. They came at 6 in the morning. We expected them at 5, they came at 6. They tried to come in through the main door of the house, and they weren't able to because we had it barricaded. They ended up coming up through the roof, through the building next door, and they were in super rapid fast. 3 people were able to hang, though, from the facade up there. They were hanging out up there. They also came in through the second floor windows. So they came in from the bottom and the top.
That was using ladders or a cherry picker to get in the second floor, was it?
Yeah, actually, I'm not even sure how they got into the second floor. But they couldn't get in through the bottom, is the point. Anyway, they got in, and, they were mozos de escuadra. They were very mean and nasty. They weren't explicitly violent, but they were mozos. They did their job. They fulfilled their order. They identified everybody in the house. And we came out on the street, and we convoked the neighbors were here by the time I came out on the street. Neighbors were here, people from other houses, groups of affinity were here, and people kept on coming. We were able to take some things out of the house as well. They allowed us to take some things out, and then at some point they stopped allowing us to take some things out. Anyway, we were here all morning, the morning of the eviction, in the street, chanting and stuff. And we had a plan to try to stop the demolition of the building, which was really more of the goal, because we knew that we were going to get evicted, and that was a sure deal. But if we could stop the demolition of the building, that there was a hope that either we could come back and continue its social use, or that we could demand that it become, have historical patronage and maintain its social use in the neighborhood with the inclusion of all of the neighbors, or be used for social housing or something to that effect. So when the workers and the trucks actually came in the morning.
This is what, about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock now at this time?
Yeah, it's about 10 o'clock. Maybe 9 o'clock, actually. You're right, about 9 o'clock. when the workers actually came, a group of people sat down to sort of block the trucks.
They came to to pull down or to block up the openings at that point?
They came at that point to tap the door so that we couldn't enter. And then later on there was more trucks that were going to come to actually start demolishing. So a large group of people sat down arm in arm, linked up in the street to stop that from happening. And that's when a lot of our altercations happened with the police. Everyone was completely nonviolent on every level. I mean, we were singing and sitting passively. It was total passive resistance.
About how many people?
It happened a few different times because there was one truck here on Maquinista and people blocked that for a while in a couple different locations, and then there was another truck here on Juan de Borbó. We were filling the whole street of Juan de Borbó, which is like a very large street here in the neighborhood. It's the main street in and out in the neighborhood of the Barceloneta. We had it blocked all morning.
Wow.
It was filled with people. But so the two times that we blocked the ladrillos, the workers, there we were responded with incredible violence on the part of the mozos. In fact, I saw with my own eyes a mozo drop a knife that he was holding.
What other things happened? What other acts of violence?
Like hitting people and beating people, sort of straight up, yeah. Your basic straight up riot cop violence that everyone is familiar with happened. And somebody actually got hit in the head and fell on the ground and had to an ambulance came. So. Anyway, so that was it was totally inspiring on a lot of levels. And I mean, the resistance was active resistance, and that was inspiring. The support of all of the neighbors and all of the other groups of affinity that came were inspiring. I think we did a good job controlling it, and also, you know, getting our messages out. And then we followed that up that afternoon at 6 o'clock by convoking an exposition called Expo Geografía Esborrada, which means the erased geography of the Barceloneta. So we convoked that at 6, and there was an enormous amount of people. It was very inspiring, and we walked all throughout the neighborhood of the Barceloneta, hanging up signs that told the story of different locations in the neighborhood that have been erased, including Milis, which was the last location. We ran around the neighborhood with neighbors, with people from Milis, stopping at each location and telling the stories of these different 8 locations that have been part of this erased geography. And so that was actually a really wonderful thing that we were able to get finished just in time for the eviction. Pretty amazing. So that happened 2 nights ago.
So at the end of that, you finished off back here, and at that stage, Milis was blocked up, and was there still police outside at that point? Or?
Yeah, there was. They fenced off the building. They covered the door in cement. They blocked it up. They had private security guards doing vigilance outside. Yesterday we were basically regrouping and making plans for what we were going to do. And this morning we came back here at 10 a.m. with a plan once again to actively and symbolically stop the demolition of the building, which had begun yesterday but hadn't gotten very far. And the workers who were supposed to be doing the demolition were incredibly kind and wonderful. Actually, yesterday they like went in and got people's cell phone chargers out of the building. I mean, I think they saw when they entered the building that we were living there. You know what I mean? That our lives were there, and that our things were shattered, and that our plants were there. You know, and I think that they probably had a sense of it. You know, so we came here at 10 this morning. We took down the fences around the building. Entered, the door was open.
When you say you took down the fence, was there security or police there? Just some cheering from the balcony up there. Two of the Miles Riocupas. over the Ocupa banner.
Yeah, there was one private security guard and about maybe 4 workers inside. We took down the fence.
And how many people arrived at 10 o'clock?
I think we were maybe about 15, 20 or something. Okay. Maybe even less. Initially, at least.
Yeah.
So three people went inside and hung this banner that you can
so
see.
So this is, they took down the fence and then the front door...
This all happened at the same time, 10 a.m.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, we convoked the press at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So there was press here, there was a you know, group of affinity outside, there was obviously neighbors milling about, so, you know, what day of the week is it?
It was Wednesday yesterday.
Today, no, today.
Today's Thursday.
We're talking about today, Thursday.
Okay, Thursday.
Thursday, today. So like, it was like Thursday morning, so there
okay.
was lots of people around. But yeah, so 10 a.m., the police, the press were here. Three people entered, entered through the door.
So the door, had they blocked up the door with the blocks and concrete though?
They had initially blocked the door the day of the eviction, which just seems to be something they always do during evictions.
Yeah.
They then came and they opened the door in order for the workers to be able to enter and leave, taking out all their stuff of the building.
Okay,
you know,
quite convenient.
Yeah. So anyway, so there was a fence around the building. There was the truck here in which they were filling with our couches, our belongings,
yeah.
our memories. The walls, etc. So we entered and talked to the workers and told them that we were gonna drop a banner, which is the truth, and told them that we would be probably a short amount of time. And so they left, and they actually drove. They drove their truck away, so that we could do what it was we wanted to do. Like I'm saying, they're very nice, extremely nice, understanding dudes. And so three people went upstairs. It turned out that the stairs were still intact. We had been worried that the stairs weren't going to be intact. Everything is intact, except that it's a horrible, terrifying mess. Everything is intact, more or less, and it's totally fixable. So they dropped this banner here, which says,
pro.
It says, pro in the rock, the spies cleanse the vida, which means against demolition of spaces that are full of life. And it has the rococo guard, it has the hanging clothing line below it, and it has a bulldozer, are the images. So we hung the banner, and then a group of people chained themselves with tubes and chains in front of the building. And initially the plan was to halt off the demolition of the building. And at some point, after about an hour, we realized that the door was open and that we had the key and that it was our house and that we had the key and the key still worked and they hadn't changed the lock. So we thought, hey, let's go inside. So everybody went inside and we just went inside and thus we resquatted our house as if it were nothing.
That must have been a really euphoric moment.
It was a completely euphoric moment, you know. It was an incredibly euphoric moment. I mean, really, we've been really lucky on so many levels throughout this whole thing, like one miracle after another. So the amazing thing that has kind of come out through the day, through doing this action that then sort of turned in, into a resquatting, is that all the communication and support that's been going on all day. I mean, there's been people here outside in front of the house dropping by, asking what's going on, offering support, bringing us water and food,
yeah,
et cetera,
yeah.
all day long. There's also been an immense amount of press here all day long. The topic is really, really hot right now. The Mossos de Squadra are really under an immense amount of pressure for being violent and acting in illegal ways and for police brutality right now. They just got caught on a hidden camera beating the shit out of this Polish girl last night. It's, you know, a really rough moment for the squatting movement in Barcelona. We've had a lot of hits and a lot of losses, and for the neighbors movements in general in Barcelona, there's a ton of really tough stuff going on, and it's a critical moment for the neighborhood that we're in, the Barcelona. That's a moment that the press is also watching what's going on here, because the neighborhood struggle is super hot and super exciting and inspiring, and we're, you know, pretty deeply involved in that. So what came out of all of the press that has been going around today and all the communication that's been kind of circulating about what's going on in the neighborhood and the fact that the building has been resquatted is that mid-morning after we resquatted it, the port that owns the building, Porto Smil, made a pact with the Ayuntamiento, with the local government, that they were just going to make a hotel or an office building. And then at some point they said, oh no, we're going to make social housing for young people. And then this morning they actually made a pact saying, and they put it out saying that they're going to actually use it, they're going to use this building to make housing for the people that are going to be evicted from their homes, kicked out of their homes, if the urban plan in this neighborhood goes through, which is what we call the elevator plan, which is going to displace about 1,000 people from this neighborhood. So that's a really amazing thing that we've actually pushed them doubly to say that they're going to make social housing out of this, which was initially going to be not for the neighborhood at all. It was going to be a hotel, it was going to be an office building, another private corporate thing on this stretch of tourist street right here. So amazing that we got them to say that. Whether or not they would follow through on that is a whole other question. We're responding to that from our part being Miles, La Plataforma, and La Asociación de Eventos de Ocio, which are three of the neighborhood groups that are in counter to the elevator plan, by saying, okay, sure, you can have this building and make social housing for it if you accept the alternative plan that we have for this neighborhood. Because we have an alternative plan for the neighborhood already worked out, which is a totally different plan that's about it's a voluntary plan, a self-organized neighborhood plan.
Bottom up from the community.
Bottom
and not
up
being
from the community, exactly, self-organized. It's a lot better in many ways. And so right now, we were just finishing having a meeting with these two neighborhood groups in Miles, discussing what we're going to do. We're going to try to pressure the city to have a meeting with us about this. And it was really just the most amazing, actually, meeting I've seen in my entire time in Barcelona. It felt like an incredibly Zapatista moment, if I may be so bold to say that. Really, this moment in this neighborhood where we're all saying, okay, so, you know, what's our bare minimum that we're going to fight for right now, which is we're going to say this building here, even if you evict us tonight, which they probably very well may do, come and evict us tonight, even if they evict us tonight, that this building will be for the neighborhood. After that, what's the bare minimum? That there would be a moratorium on their plan for the neighborhood. After that, everything is up for grabs, for us to grab, to decide what we want to do, right? Do we want this to be social housing? Maybe. Do we want this actually to have a different social use? Yes, maybe. In that case, there's a lot of entities in the neighborhood that that maybe would want to share in what the sort of reimagining of this building will be. So it's a really exciting moment to be here, sort of imagining bottom-up participation and being a part of it, and imagining the possibility of actually working by assembly in a neighborhood to decide what social use buildings should have, which, you know, on our own, between ourselves, it's my dream come true, and I'm living it. It's really exciting.
And from that discussion that you were having with the neighborhood groups today, did you feel that they also felt this feeling of I suppose empowerment, the fact that this has happened and you've retaken the building, these new discussions are happening? Are they as charged as you seem to be about it?
Yeah, totally.
Do they feel they can win?
Well, there's 1 million different feelings in the neighborhood. I assume that everyone who's fighting has some feeling that they can win, or else they probably wouldn't be fighting. No.
Exactly. Even more so now from the just the recent actions, discussions.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that we are using non-reformist tactics, we're using radical tactics. We're doing things autonomously. We're doing things in incredibly creative ways, and we're responding in creative ways. I mean, we're not only dropping pancartas, but we're you know what I mean. I mean, this guy just came to this assembly right here, and he came up with his son, and he said, "Do you know what's so dangerous? Do you know what they're so scared of about Miles? What's so scary is your use of culture. The culture here that you guys are using is what really scares them. You know." And I think it's true. I mean, I think the fact that we just were able to re-squat this building, just open the fence and come back in as if it were nothing. The door was open, we came back in. I think we've all inspired ourselves, and I think we're going to use it as a pressure point to try to actually win something for the rest of the neighborhood. And we're happy to leave this building and not live here if we can actually take control of it as a neighborhood and make a social use for it beyond including the people who have already been organizing it and using it in a social way.
Excellent. And is there any things, like if people are outside Barcelona, is there anything that they can do to support or anything, just even just by getting word out to more communities, or trying to find if this sort of thing has happened before, where communities have won in a similar sort of process?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think circulation of information is the most important thing, you know, translating struggles. I think on that level, going to the indiemedia.org site, which there's a lot of information there right now that you just put up, thank you to you, and circulating that information, adding information. I mean, I think we could actually use information from afar as well, find out about other... Yes?
I'm going there.
Okay. Is it 10?
You have to be there quarter to 10.
Okay.
You're not coming?
I'm just going to finish with them, and then maybe I'll go over there and say hi to Beto. Or I can meet you there? Can I meet you there? Are they going to close the boat or something?
We have to be there at 4:30.
Yes, we can wrap
okay.
this up.
Let's go. You want to go to a boat? Are you going to go to the boat?
Okay, well, thanks very much. And
yeah, no problem.
Aleli Pirat.
Yeah, we're going to a pirate boat now.
Okay.